This is your first time in Northern Kentucky. I know you've played a couple of shows in Louisville, but first time in the North and the Ashland area. What do you think of the Kentucky audience?
Well, the Kentucky audience has been as good as any, and fortunately, the venues that I've been playing throughout Kentucky have all been really nice. You know, we played a nice theater in Lexington and a beautiful theater in Ashland. This is not a theater, but it's I suppose preferable to some of the bars that you might wind up playing. I'll tell you what. Got to be better than Bogart's.
Oh, absolutely. Anything's better than Bogart's.
Anything's better than Bogart's.
The Emery was nice, but I guess it's unavailable. This is a very historic, they call it the historic Southgate House.
And yeah.
The inventor of the Tommy gun, I believe, lived here.
Oh, geez.
A little scary, but kind
of. That's why it's half underground.
Right. Okay. You produced some of the classic albums of all time, Meatloaf, XTC, mm-hmm. New York Dolls. What kind of artists do you like to produce, and is there anything on the horizon production-wise?
I suppose my strengths are in bringing out the best in the sort of singer-songwriter and or quirky band. You know, like that. It's usually somebody who does their own material and who is either very new to recording or is looking for something new in their recording. Subsequently, the kind of records that are being made today, there's not very many that fall under that category. So I haven't been doing a lot of production recently.
I see. Well, that brings me to my next question. Any of the American music of these days that you're interested with at all, or are you like me and think it's...
Well, there's always a good band or two or a good act, but... I mean, Linkin Park is the biggest thing happening, and they're not so bad, but right. I have to say I prefer Incubus to them.
Uh-huh.
And as far as other things, you know, I thought, you know, it was great that Norah Jones kind of broke away from the pack, you know, and got all those Grammys, but I don't see her following that up, and I also don't see a whole giant movement towards singer-songwriters again, right. Even though it's possible, but I... it's hard to just conjure up singer-songwriters, and when inertia is going towards, you know, these sort of facile acts, where it's more important if you can dance than
sure.
if you can sing.
Sure. Yeah, I've been listening to a lot of Japanese pop, J-pop, K-pop, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. Anything on the international scene that interests you at all?
Well, I haven't been, at least not recently, I haven't been too up on it. What I really need to do is get myself a satellite radio receiver. I live out in Hawaii, and we don't have a lot of radio that gets played there.
I see.
The best radio we got is the local public radio station. So,
sure.
And they got only so much time in a day. So I need to spend a little more time maybe listening to internet radio and broadening my horizons. But when I'm working on records of my own or recordings of my own, I tend not to listen to other music so much.
I see.
It distracts me too much.
Speaking of your own music... Pro Tools is very popular, computer mm-hmm. studio software. Are there any particular software that you care for or don't care for?
Well, that's one of the tools I use. And I also use, for my sort of composition rig, a thing called Reason. A company named Propeller Heads makes it.
I see.
And essentially, it's a whole virtual rack of synthesizers with a sequencer and stuff. And when you're sketching out your music, it gives you all the sounds you could possibly need. And it runs on my laptop. So
yeah, very nice. Very nice. You're also considered a guitar hero to a lot of musicians. And I know in the 70s you experimented with interfacing pitch-to-voltage conversion and synthesizer modules way ahead of your time. What do you think of some of the gear that's out now? So, like the loop samplers and a lot of great gear. Anything excite you?
Well, I actually travel with the loop sampler, but I can't say I've figured out how to use it or gotten fully comfortable with it. Possibly in the future I'll be able to do that. I think that... It's hard to find material that goes with that. You know, if you're going to use a loop sampler, it has to be like sort of repetitive. Things have to be repetitive in a way, and so I don't get a lot of use of it out of it normally. But I do use it to, you know, to get a consistent sound wherever we go, and you know, I use the amp modeling and the various other things inside it. I've been using as my main amplifier, a Line 6 amp mm-hmm. that essentially allows me to get any sound I can imagine out of it. So,
So it emulates the sound of other amps?
Yeah, it's all this acoustic modeling stuff, so it emulates other amps and cabinets and even miking configurations and stuff. Yes.
Yeah, I have the Line 6 DL1, the delay emulator, and it's beautiful equipment. How are you distributing your music these days? I know you're not under a contract, or are you?
I'm not under any long-term contract to distribute new music, the sort of traditional contract where you would sign up for some number of albums and take a big advance and get chunks of cash from the label. I don't have that arrangement anymore. I got out of my traditional record company commitments early in the 90s, not solely because it was harder to get a contract, but because I had ideas that I wanted to experiment with, and record companies did not seem to have the imagination to go along with it. Case in point, I thought that my music should be available on a server in order that either download it or listen to it in a recontextualized situation. And at that particular time, the labels just wouldn't hear of it. And so I figured if I got into a contract with someone, they're just going to give me, you know, they're just going to chafe me every time I want to do something that's unusual. And as it turned out, you know, their unwillingness to put music on servers turned out to be their undoing.
Right. And they still haven't caught up. Mm-hmm. You've released a wealth of rare and live material to the Japanese market. I hear there are some plans for some domestic release of some of this material.
We have an arrangement and a relationship with a label called Sanctuary. And we have a large archive of stuff that every time we do any sort of performance that's recorded, we get a copy of it and the rights to use it. And a lot of it's just been accumulating since the 70s. We gave them the right to sort of plumb through it and find whatever they thought was viable. And then I vet it. I look for flaws, fatal flaws in the performance, and do whatever I can to improve the quality of the sound, and then they release it. So that'll be ongoing. I'm not sure what the full term of that is, but I know that they're going to be releasing not only regular CDs, but also DVDs of some video shows that we've done, and surround sound, possible surround sound audio.
I see.
As well.
Any possibility of the Raw show being released on DVD?
I don't know that exists anywhere on tape.
I see.
Only time that it was ever filmed was for the BBC, and it wasn't the entire show. It was excerpts from the show.
I see. Would you like to brag a little bit on your son? I understand he's quite the baseball player.
Well, we're not yet to the point of bragging. You know,
okay.
He's happy, I think, with where he's at, and the team is happy with where he's at, but he's still in the minors, and it's only the beginning of the season. In about 3 months, we'll know whether it's time to brag, I suppose, you know, whether he'll be going to the All-Star game or something like that. It's early yet.
Okay. One last thing. My favorite line of yours is, and the music plays forever and it captures every ear, and the sound of barriers crashing down is the sweet harmony you hear. Mm-hmm. Are you generally an optimistic person?
Well,
there's a lot of optimism in your music. And
there is optimism in my music, although it doesn't come from the sort of, you know, a hippie trippy place. I see into the souls of men, you know, and what is possible and what is actually real and there. And that's what I try and sing about. And so I sing about hope, just to remind people that there is such a thing. But that doesn't mean that there's any assurance of getting there without personal transformation. So that's the other theme that runs through most of my music, is personal transformation.
I see. You've had a huge fan base that's followed you over decades. Do you think some of the sort of spiritual nature of some of your material might attribute to that?
It may. I've striven for most of my career to write material that would not lose its potency over time. If it loses its potency for me, then I'm unsatisfied and I have to kind of plumb deeper, I suppose. But for the most part, I've tried to write songs that, if you go back to them later, they aren't connected to, they're not dated or anything like that. They're not intended to be dated. They may be dated in terms of their musical style, but the lyrics are supposed to remind you of timeless things,
right.
I guess.
Well, you've succeeded greatly.
Hopefully, thanks.
Especially the first Utopia album is still, that time hasn't even come yet. You know,
I guess. That's, yeah. Well, it certainly doesn't look like it nowadays.
No, it sure doesn't, but we'll hope for the best.
Okay.
Well, Todd, thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
It.